Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 19th of October. It is going so fast. It's nearly Christmas.
You can't say that yet.
I can say that. It's only 10 weeks, literally.
No, I know, but my birthday is 20 days before Christmas and I'll be 26. And I feel like there's a different level to 26 than 25.
You said that
what,
last year.
Being 26 at Christmas is different, or
yeah, I feel like when you're 26, I think my mum had like 3 kids by the time she was 26, and I'm still like, I'm not ready for
not
that.
Not ready.
You don't want that as a Christmas present.
No.
As you can hear, I am joined in the studio today by not one, but two fabulous co-hosts. I thought I'd be greedy today and get a couple of co-hosts in. So I have got the wonderful Molly Wright from Molly Moodle Media.
Hello.
And Molly Moodle Mashups.
And Molly Moodle Mashup, yes.
Molly has her own show now, guys. So listen in every
15th
Thursday.
15th show.
Really?
Yeah, so it is going really quick.
You missed 3 because you was away.
I was, yeah. I was away for 3 weeks.
Yes.
and on last week's show, actually, well, last time I was in with Amanda, I told her before we went live, oh, by the way, I got engaged whilst we were away. She was like, oh, yeah, look, you didn't know.
I know, exactly. And I was like, oh, my God, that was so exciting. And then tell them.
And then I said, but we haven't actually announced it yet, so you can't tell anyone.
So she wouldn't let me say it on air.
But now it's out there. We put it on Facebook.
That's right. I said it last week. But I shouted it out last week. I said, I can say it now.
Everyone knows.
I can see Molly's put it on social
Thank
media.
You. So, yeah, proposed in Venice. Can you believe it? Oh, on a gondola.
Did you or he?
He did. He did. We made a pact. Sorry, I'm going into it. I said, if you want us to have children, it's only fair you propose to me, because I feel like I might as well have a really nice moment and suffer the not so nice moment. That's what I deserve.
For sure. For sure.
So I love the fact that you equate that to pregnancy. You have no idea.
Exactly. She doesn't want the commitment. She's engaged now. Then comes marriage and then comes the babies.
Yeah, you can clearly tell that I've never had children. I'm like, oh, you just proposed. I'll just have the baby. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Even Stephen.
Yeah.
Because I was like, and after the show, we were talking about possible wedding venues. And I said, I don't do weddings, but on this occasion, Molly, I'm quite happy to help you with the wedding. She went, I'm not going to get married yet.
Yeah, like, don't rush me. I've only known the man 15 years, been with him 5. Like,
exactly.
You know. Yeah, I met him in primary school.
Wow.
Yeah, moved in from London, had a big, thick Cockney accent, and the girls didn't really fancy it. And so I used to sit on the playground, like one other friend. He said, do you want to play football? I was like, yeah. So we've become friends then. He's so nice.
Sweet.
I know.
One thing I think you really should do, if you haven't done it already, is the video he did of you when you were sat having your Prosecco and you couldn't stop crying.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's so sweet.
I couldn't stop crying for like an hour afterwards. Because the whole time, the year building up to it, by the way, he custom made the ring. I always said I love to have a yellow diamond. I just love the colour yellow. And he went to a jewellery maker's in Canterbury called Altwyn Tyson Jewellery Makers, which funnily enough was one of my first clients. And he went there a year ago and he went in and said, if you look, it's the shape of a daisy. And he said, I'd like it in the shape of a daisy. And they built it together. And over the course of that year, whenever marriage was brought up or anything like that, he's like, well, I don't want to get... Oh no, we don't need to get married yet, you know. Why would you even need to get married? And then, so throughout the whole year, I thought, oh my God, it's never going to happen. We're never going to get married. And then he just popped the question. I was like, you told me you didn't want to get married.
Not only
have I wanted to get married, but I've been planning it for a year. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you very much. So I just couldn't stop crying.
It's so sweet. It was like, our guest that was in as well, Jeez. Dan Mills, never met either Molly or I. And I was crying, she was crying, Molly was crying. We were like, so much. And then we had to go on air and be like, I'm fine, okay. And so yeah, it's out there now, Molly.
It's out now. There. Everyone knows, the family know. And I told my best friends, which was the best reaction. I think like one of them just stopped breathing for a second, and they hosted me an engagement party, which funnily enough, Tom wasn't invited.
It was just all about you, Mel.
Oh, 100%. That is such a girl thing,
isn't
it?
I'm having a baby.
Yeah. Literally, there was just bunting that said, she said yes. And like cupcakes that said, she said yes. And Tom was like, how's your engagement party? I'm like, yeah, it's good.
So funny.
Oh, well, congrats.
So also joining, now we've done Molly's engagement.
Sorry, yeah, thank you.
Moving on. We're also joined in the studio by Richard Bell, our security expert. Woohoo! We have got a plan for today. There's so much going on in the news at the moment about social media and security and everything. So we thought we're going to do one whole great big show about social media and cybersecurity and mix it up and, you know, is it bad for you? Is it good for you? What you need to do to keep safe. So we've got loads coming up for you. We do have some events to shout out about. I do just want to give a shout out for this week's show sponsor, which is Kickstart Social. Change the name, Lucy. Kickstart Social Digital event, which is on the 19th of November at Buckmore Park. We are teaming up with them. We're their media sponsor and they're sponsoring the show.
Oh, wow.
We're going to be on site doing interviews on the day, so it should be great. We want to hear from you. Okay, so today's the conversation is about social media. It's about security. Get in touch with us. Tweet us your thoughts and feelings. Is social media bad for you? Is it necessary? How do you monitor what time you spend online? And also, how do you keep secure and safe while you're online? Tweet us at the normal place, at Bunk Extra, with hashtag BExtra, BeBunker. If you really want to, give us a call in the studio. Now, we never see the phone ringing, so please do tweet first to say that you're calling and then give us a call on 01233 220035, 01233 220035. You can literally get involved in the conversation today, but give us a call. And for future shows, if you've got events to tell us about, if you want to come on the show, then give us an email at bunkextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week's show, just to touch base, I was joined by Mark Goldfinch, and it was just me and Mark in the studio last week, but it was fantastic because we had a bit of a rant and a bit of conversation about events.
Loves a rant, doesn't he, Mark?
He got involved. But then we was hearing Mark's journey and story. He's fantastic. I mean, he speaks many different languages and he's travelled quite prolifically around the world. He was in the army and then he worked as a civilian in some war-torn countries because he speaks Arabic as a translator. And he's now recently, he does marketing for businesses, but he's just started a new business, international business. Oh, I can't even remember the name of it. Anyway, he started this new business, which is to do with helping businesses go international, really, and connect with international businesses, work abroad. You know, you don't have to keep your company, your business in the UK if you don't want to. And his passion is to be translators and to work with international businesses. So it was great. If you missed the show, do go back and listen to it. It's on bizradio.co.uk. Click on the extra tab and it was show 76. It was great. It was a real fun show, actually. We really got into it. It was all getting all passionate and everything. We've had a few tweets. Keep them coming in. We've had one from Tony Burke, Chips and Dinks. This is a great topic today that affects all businesses. We're setting the alarm to remind us to listen in. I hope you've remembered.
Exactly.
To listen in, Tony. Tony at Chips and Dinks. He will help you if you've got a dink or a little mark or a scratch or a bit of a bigger dent on your car. Tony's fantastic. And I still haven't phoned him about the other dent
in
my car.
Oh my goodness, that's been ages.
I know. I need to get it sorted sooner rather than later, for sure. And Neil Shorthouse has given us a tweet. He is in the Maldives at the moment.
I know.
Lucky.
We're neighbours, aren't we?
Yes.
Devil, isn't it?
Devil. But he does want to have a shout out for the team at Fusi Faro. So it's a new complex that's opened, Fusi Faro in the Maldives, and they're working and delivering a transformational experience. That's Shorthouse Hospitality at SHH_hospitality on Le Twitter.
Lovely. We've also got Amy Nicholas from Clear Cut Venues listening in. Hello. And Maximum Media listening in.
Good morning, guys. Oh, okay. All right, Neil, stop it now.
What's he doing?
He's posted a picture of where he is.
Oh, stop.
Blue seas, palm trees.
Oh.
And listening to the Business Bunker.
Yeah, and listening. I hope you're listening. I hope you're sending this picture and listening, Neil, giving you a big shout out. Nobody's jealous at all.
Oh, you know what he said there as well? A pre-site visit for honeymoon. He could sort me.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got ever so excited.
I know. I'll sort out the venue for you. He'll sort out your honeymoon.
Lovely.
Sorted.
I could sort the drinks out or something.
Oh, yeah. That would be appreciated.
Test it. I'll do testing before.
Yeah.
We got you sorted, Molly. We're getting married, no problem. keep those tweets coming in. We want to know your opinion. How much do you use social media? Do you use it enough? Do you not use it enough? Do you do it too much? What do you do on social media? So much going on. What we're going to do is we've got a couple of events to shout out about, and then we're going to get into it. So there is loads going on next week.
Yes.
But I couldn't find all of them because I've seen all these posts going on through social media and I'm like, right, okay, make a note of that and make a note of that. So, but I haven't noted them all down. But I know Sleeping Giant have got an event coming up. So if you follow them on the Twitter, at Sleeping Giant.
Is that the throwback event, the about the like a homage to the 90s or something along those lines?
I can't remember. I know it's a good event and I've seen it a couple of times. I'm like, right, make a note of that. But that's on next week. There is also the LinkedIn local event being run by Mark from Red Sprout, and he's put together that with the Mercure Danes Hotel in Maidstone. And it's the first LinkedIn local in Kent event. And it's great because obviously we connect with all these people on LinkedIn. So this is the, you know, face-to-face stuff. And I know he's got a couple of hundred people already booked on. It's a free event. You just need to rock up.
He's been doing amazing promo around that as well, all the videos and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, his business is video, so he knows how to use it, which is great. So, but it's worth going if you want to meet up with a few people or a few hundred people, see how many people you can get around. If you go to, I think if you go on Facebook and search LinkedIn Local or follow Red Sprout on LinkedIn or Twitter, and you'll be able to find out about that. But that's on Thursday, the 25th. And there is a couple of other events, but no, I couldn't find them. So we'll just go with what we've got. You've got some dragon events there, haven't you?
I have. So the Dragon Bite is on the 1st of November, so not long away at all. So join them for street food for an inspirational talk by Matthew Russell, co-founder of the Copper Rivet Distillery. The Copper Rivet Distillery, since being formed in 2012, have become a major tourist attraction in Kent and one of England's best small batch distillers. It's a fascinating story about how the distillery came to be. The cost of your ticket is £20, including food and a VIP entrance to the Dragon's Den. Book at dragoncoworking.co.uk. Ooh,
that's right. You know what?
VIP entrance.
The Copper Rivet Distillery, they mainly produce gin. Specific gin.
And if you see, it's trending today. It's International Gin and Tonic Day.
Is it?
Today, yeah.
I can't do gin. Don't like it. I've tried all the different flavours. Nope.
Is it with a tonic though?
No, I've tried it with other things as well. No, can't do it. However, Copper Rivet also make a very nice vodka.
Nice.
And they do something called Son of the Gun, which is a whiskey, but you can't call it a whiskey because it hasn't been in the barrel long enough. Apparently it has to be in the barrel for over 20 years or something to be called a whiskey or matured. Okay. Yeah. So it's Son of a Gun is a whiskey type drink.
Yeah,
they do a fantastic drinks there, and their distillery is an amazing place to visit. Yeah. It's really unique.
I'm gonna have to bring in Tom's Nan's slow gin. It's unbelievable. Like, I don't like gin.
Bootleg?
Oh, it's really nice. It's like, I have like so much lemonade with it, but when you actually finally do get the hint of taste, I will say, once my dad made us pick berries in the garden of his friend's house once, and we thought it was just a fun activity. Thought it was going to go to a pie. He actually made slow gin, and we had, and we still do have these themed parties where they're called carry-on camping parties, and it's literally everyone comes to the house, they pitch up their tents, and we all just have a good old laugh. And one time, do you remember the water, the machines that you'd have the big barrel of water on top, and then you have the little, and he replaced that. He replaced that with gin. Honestly, I think about 8 people were ill after that. But it was a great time. So there's my gin story.
Moving on.
My dad nearly killing people.
Oh, I've got plenty of gin stories, but none of
them. Let's not do those on air. Hey, moving on. I know he's got more dragon, but we'll do a couple of these as well. I've got, this is a new event, which looks quite interesting. The Business Book Club. This is hosted by Claire Harvey. Claire was on a few weeks ago on the show. She's a business coach, and she has started a new business book club. It's about, obviously, business books. She said there's so many people go, I read this book and it changed my life. So I guess it's similar to a normal book club, but you're reading business clubs and business books, and you'll be discussing, you know, your thoughts on them and how they've affected you and how they help you. So this is on Tuesday the 13th of November at the Market House in Maidstone. It's free to go to. If you just search on Facebook the Business Book Club or look for Claire Harvey, it's worth checking out. It's something different.
That's nice.
Good. Yes. You was at the waffle last night, wasn't you? Dragon
had
their waffle and that looked like it was quite busy.
Well, the thing is that by the time, last time I went to the waffle event, I went up to get a waffle, had, you know, a delicate amount, maybe one waffle, two, sprinkled it with just a little bit of fruit, just a little bit of toffee. And then all of a sudden, shop shut up. went and they had to go because I got there too late.
No,
so
no.
Yesterday, because it's just the timing of my show. You finish at 4 o'clock, you reach rush hour. So then by the time you get to Dragon, she was ready to shut up shop again. And I literally had like a mountain of waffle. I was like, you ain't going this time. You're not leaving that. But it's amazing.
They're great ones. We've got another one here. Our Ben Abbott, the young Ben Abbott. Ben was on a few weeks here. We like to call him the young Ben Abbott.
Yes.
He has asked for a shout out from Maximum Media. And we are offering business to business podcast to stand out from everyone else hosted on our fantastic new website and external platforms too. Plus, Ben is running a Maximise Your Social Content event in November. So on Wednesday, the 21st of November in Margate, Maximise Your Social Media Content with his 3-hour workshop on social media, video, podcasting and personal branding. It is a fantastic opportunity to train members of your team on the effective use of all social platforms. So fantastic. That's down in Margate. So if you give @maximum_media UK a follow on the Twitter, then you can find out more about that. And Neil is listening. Oh, look, he sent a nice picture.
Yeah,
it's nice. So we have gone global today, people. We're being listened to in the Maldives. What time is it there, Neil? Let us know.
Neil, please, you know, put a reservation down. Future Molly and Tom Smith for holidays in the Maldives.
Well, surely we have to have a bit of a site visit. I'm thinking of going global with Butterflies events and doing incentive travel. So
you're saying that me and you are going to fly out to the Maldives?
Yeah, exactly. And just check it out for business.
It is the most logical thing I think that we need to do.
Neil, we're coming.
Yeah, we'll see you out there.
We're going to come.
In the next hour. Well, so Emily from Pink Spaghetti has tweeted in and she said, it'll be good to hear how people feel social media security has changed over the past few years. There seems to be more and more leaks or breaches nowadays. So I wonder, are our details less safe online than they've ever been, maybe?
Oh, very that good is something question. We are going to discuss in just a minute. Just a minute?
In a little mizzy.
In a little mizzy. Let's just do.
More events?
More events. Let's quickly do the Business Doctors event for Peter Searle.
Yes. So is that at the Business Terrace?
The Business Terrace,
lovely.
Yes.
So this seminar will show you how to review where your business is right now and consider where it should be going to meet your long-term aspirations. Very good, isn't it? Because you can make your own business plan and not actually know whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing or sustainable. And it's a bit scary. So with their 10 practical steps to success, you will waste no time in realising the full potential of your business. So go on to businessdoctors.co.uk. To book your ticket to the Breaking Big with Maidstone Borough Council. This is on Monday, the 22nd of October from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Business Terrace Maidstone.
Fantastic. Peter Sell there at the Business Doctors. They run lots of free events to help and support businesses, which is absolutely great. So we're just going to do the final details of this. So Kickstart Social Digital, which we mentioned at the beginning of the show, is on Monday the 19th of November from 8:30 to 5 p.m. at Buckmore Park in Chatham. It's a one-day social media and digital marketing training event for small businesses to kickstart your business. It's covering all different areas of social media and digital. And they've got some amazing speakers. They've got Lauren Bennett from Evoke Media, Lucy Hall from Avisio Media, Luke Frack from Space Between, Danny Windsor from Sleeping Giant, Becky Sims from Reflect Digital, and our wonderful Amy McManus from AM Marketing. The tickets are just £45, and you also get with that lunch, CPD certificate for 6 hours work, workbooks, and plenty of networking. It's going to be a great event. Also, what they're doing, because they're at Buckmore Park, if you want to, after the event, you can stay and do some go-karting and just some additional £20. Yeah.
Oh, that is fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, Amy McManus would be amazing at that. She's so competitive. And when we played that game at Venues and Events Expo where you bop the colours, you have to bop it with your hands as quick as possible and you have to compete the score. And I was like, Amy, do you want to play? And she was like, yeah, why not? Casual as anything. And then literally went... Yeah, no, she's a machine.
I know, but the funny thing was you were going absolutely mental and hitting it really fast, and she was just very casually doing it. She was doing it in slow mo. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like,
slow motion.
Yeah, no.
It was quite amusing to watch.
But I've got one more event that I talk about at the Dragon Night, and this is the Failure Nights, which is radio friendly. So if you know what failure might mean, then try Google that, because this is on the 16th of November at 7 p.m. So after the great success of Volume 1, Volume 2 will be even bigger and better. This is at Dragon Co-working, so they have another four great speakers all willing to share their business failure experience. So you've got Tony Burke of Chips and Dinks, Tom Lawrence from Art Sparks, Andrea Barker from Andrea Barker's Confidence Coach, and Sian Murphy of Storm Chasers Digital. I absolutely love Sian because she works at Dragon, and she'll just say everything that's on her mind. Like, there's no filter with her, so that would be really
be
all of them would be really good to hear.
I went to the last one, and it was quite fun. It was quite fun to hear, definitely.
And it's also combined with some live bands. They've got gourmet hot dog snacks and drinks all included. It will be another great night. So if you want to join in, dragoncoworking.co.uk.
Fantastic. Do keep an eye on social media. There's lots of events coming up over the next couple of weeks. You know, we're into the last quarter of the year. Get out there, get to the events, and get involved and meet people, learn new stuff. We've had another tweet from Ben's reply, Ben Abbott's, the young Ben Abbott. Sorry, Ben, you need to change your Twitter handle now from the Ben Abbott to the young Ben Abbott. but he has come in and said, I think the social media has stayed the same in terms of breaches. It's just a case of it being more in the forefront of media attention at this point of time. A lot of people are concerned about Facebook, but it's no different to any other platform security. So, you know what? We've got so many different areas we could jump in at all different points. And I want to cover the security side of it, but I also want to cover the social side of it, literally, because they've seen so many posts over the last week or so where people have been, and I think possibly because we've had Mental Health Awareness Day, so that's come to the forefront as well. And people are going, I've just had a week off social media, I haven't been on it at all, and I feel so much better. And there's so much bad press about how bad social media is for people.
Which I agree to some degree,
though. To some degree, but I think it comes down to your personal responsibility at the end of the day, doesn't it? These things are addictive.
It's like anything. It is addictive. I think the mental health piece is extremely important, but we're seeing increasingly a lot more of that. People coin it sort of cyberbullying or whatever. It's having that confidence to be able to, and rule sets, which we'll go on to talk about, but it's having those rule sets in place to say, this is an extension of a world. It's a virtual world. It isn't your life.
Yes.
You know, and once you understand some of those boundaries, then the practice of using it or not using it becomes a bit easier. And only yesterday was there a ladies footballer from Chelsea in England that was barraged with a load of abuse, a threat of rape and murder and all of that type of stuff, which is being encouraged for the police to obviously investigate.
Yeah.
But it's we all know stupid people in our world.
Yep.
We tend to stay away from them.
Yeah.
There are quite a few stupid people out on social media. So you've got to try and stay away from them and that activity. Yeah. And sometimes that means just stepping away from the phone for a little bit. I know people that, you know, I'm sure us three are the same. The phone's never far from us, whether it be work related or, you know, a little bit of social media or whatever. But I know others that sort of troll, but they don't know they're trolling, but they're trolling what's going on television. So they'll see, you know, an actor that they like, and then that becomes the troll. So it's the moment we connected our hands with the phones and the smart technology was encouraged, it just opens up the world. And social media is just one aspect of it. And yes, it's getting beaten up a little bit in the press because of mental health, which is an important issue, as well as threats and cyberbullying and security. But it's, you know, I'm a lot more relaxed about social media. 10 years ago, I was one of those people that sat in the corner and go, what are you doing? Just live your life in this world.
Mm.
Have a rule set. Have a bit of a disconnect. Don't live your life through it. Make it part of it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's about expectation, because it's in business and with personal. People think, right, okay, you're in business, you need to be on social media constantly. And as a social media marketing agency that says you need to be on social media, I think people can go sometimes either way. They can go, oh, I don't know anything about it, I don't want to get onto it. And that's a negative, because you should be showing the amount of people online what your business actually does. But then there's the other side of it where people get obsessed with it and wants to put content out there constantly.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just not good. And you're constantly tracking every like, follow, retweet, share.
It can get, I think that's the thing, is it, and also I reckon as business owners, as as small business owners, us people that are on social media, you do get more obsessed with it than I guess you would sometimes as in a personal aspect, because you are, people are not just liking and sharing and approving of you, they're approving of your business. Mm. And that's something that you always want more, you know, recognition that you're doing the right thing. And when it comes to business and social media, yes, you need to have a social media presence. If your client base, your target audience is on social media, you're then, it's the only way to get in front of them. But you do have this big, I love the new word out at the moment, FOMO or FOMOB, fear of missing out on business. Have you heard that radio advert for the phone receptionist company? They use FOMOB, but FOMO, fear of missing out on business. And it is, it's how do you find that line between what is enough and what is obsessive and what is too much?
And that's what I like about these mental health awareness days, because they make people realise that any expectation you've put on yourself to be a certain type of person and be so active on social media, you don't have to be that, you know. And especially with young girls and beauty standards and stuff, I mean, I know that I was talking to someone in the office, and they've got two teenage daughters, and having a prevalent. Let's just say both of them. So Instagram. Instagram.
Prominent.
All of them. Chuck them all in there.
Send the words in. Yeah. What per is Molly going on about?
They have Instagram accounts and they need to look stunning on their pages, because, and they need to have loads of followers. And that pressure to take the perfect photograph to get that many followers, it makes it addictive. And you're...
But they choose to do that.
But that, no, being a teenager during
you're
the time...
You're not a teenager anymore.
Being a teenager when social media was coming about...
Yeah, fair enough.
When
yeah.
I was at school... this is when the internet would have just started going off. So back in 2004, do you remember dial-up? So we used to dial up to the internet.
You're talking to two oldies here. We remember Tetris.
Yeah. Literally, no one touched the home phone, because I'm about to go onto the internet. And what would
everyone knows the noise.
Oh, that used to just curse my soul. But the thing is that, so what we did, when I went to school, year eight, year nine, the thing that we would do, I think I've mentioned this before, is we... trend was you built a website for yourself, and it basically said, this is me, this is Molly, I love films, I love shopping, all of that stuff. Yeah. Then you'd have a rate page. So you'd have a rate page for all the girls, and then rate page for the boys. Yeah. And then you would put all the pictures of your mates up, and then put a comment section at the bottom and say, who is the hottest? And but you wanted to be a part of that, because you were part of the it crowd. You were part of, you know, what was going on in school that was popular.
Yeah. But that's how Facebook started, wasn't it? Yeah. It started off of a thing in the universities where they were rating the girls, and then the girls found it, and they're rating the boys, and they're rating each other. And that's where Facebook started. So yeah. It's just...
Can I just say, no one rated me. I looked about... When I was about 14, I looked 8. So no one was like, oh, she's hot. They went, where's her mum? Like, someone needs to take her home. And all the girls above me, they all looked like women. And we'd get 8s and 9s, and they'd say, who's Molly? I'd go, okay. And I just wouldn't want to be a part of that. But I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to, not to the extreme where, you know, you start manipulating the internet to sort of fit your need and try and fit in with that. But at the same time, there are people that will, and they just want to be part of the crowd. Yeah. And that is where the pressure comes, because people then want to constantly be online and add to that and add to the trend of what everyone else is doing. And it does mess with your mental health, because you're constantly judging yourself and assessing and analysing. You can literally analyse if your friend's got 50 likes and you've got 32, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
It's a damaging way.
And that's where it becomes dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I guess that's the thing as well, when you look at it from the personal point of view of using social media and the peer pressures, and you say, and you know, our children, the generation that they're in, that this is, you know, it's not bad that we're in this generation. You know, our lives have evolved and we are an online generation and our kids coming into it. But then at the end of the day, there are good people and there are evil people all over the world to do with all different types of things. And I guess the main thing you need to do, I would say, with social media on a personal level is be aware whatever you post on social media will be there forever, forever and ever and ever. So if you do something silly, if you're drunk or anything like that, it will be there forever, even if you delete it. We were saying off air, wasn't we, Richard? Yeah. Even if you put a picture up and then you delete it off your profile, it is still somewhere. In the system.
Once you tweet, you can't delete.
And that's a good one to remember, especially when you're crossing over the personal with the business as well. Yeah. Because people, when they're searching for you as a person, they'll Google you.
Yeah.
And then Google will throw up. You know, I know Paul has got out there somewhere in the ethos a picture of him in a pink tutu, which I'm sure he's deleted, but he knows if people Google him, it comes up.
And one thing as well is this morning I was on Instagram and there is a supermodel called Kendall Jenner. She's part of the Kardashian clan. And a news report, a TMZ news report said stalker, you know, goes round Kendall Jenner's swimming pool, and she tweeted underneath saying, yes, the reason why there are people breaking into my house and stalking me when I'm at home is because you are telling them exactly where I am. These reporters and the media, I mean, obviously this is not relatable to our day-to-day, but these reporters are so instant with wanting to get news stories out to make something shareworthy and newsworthy that they will literally sit outside people's houses, celebrities' houses, and tweet pictures. This is such a danger for these celebrities because they'll be at home and they're, you know, any old person, exactly what happened to Kim Kardashian.
But I wonder, I don't know if that's any different or worse because of social media, because at the end of the day, if nutters and stalkers wanted to find celebrities, they would find celebrities, methods.
But the problem that she's saying is that the reason these TMZ with their millions of followers are tweeting Kendall Jenner's at home right now. This is the latest news story on her. Someone can literally go over to her house and be like, there she's in that building. Whereas before social media, you can't really judge that. You know, she could be...
Yeah, that's true.
I think what and the byproduct of that is bad behaviour, isn't it? Because then that then starts to, and the psychology of it, then that starts to become what young people think is right.
Yeah.
So telling everybody where you are, which clearly is a risk because you wouldn't want, you know, we wouldn't want our children to say where they exactly were.
No.
But, and you don't know, largely we don't know who's actually connected to them. We think we've got an idea. You know, I've got a fairly close hold on, you know, my son's accounts. Not very active.
I like that. Very fairly close hold. Yeah.
I know everything.
Yeah. He knows how to get all your details.
But that behaviour, so from that example right the way through, is where some of those security risks are. And that sort of affects your world and our world in business. Yeah. That's where those bits are.
But the thing is, though, with social media is that they encourage you to share your location. They encourage you to be a part of that. If you're in a restaurant or if you're, you know, out with friends, they encourage you to tag your location. You know, tag the fact that you're in Ask Italian in Bluewater. Yeah. You know, and there might be a benefit in for you for that by doing that. Instagram, if you tag that you're in Canterbury, Kent, you might even be part of... No, if you will be a part of their circle at the very top if you type in Canterbury and you're part of their story. Same with Snapchat. If I'm in London and there's, you know, Gay Pride is on and I'm there, then I could use the hashtag Gay Pride and they'll put me as part of the huge story with everybody else. So the problem with these social media platforms is they make it seem like it's right for people to tweet about exactly where they are.
And it's knowing what you're supposed to do or some of the rules, and they give you all the answers, they give you the questions, you know, privacy settings, location settings, all of that type of activity, but we don't ever answer that. We never put that information
Who goes, who looks at them, who reads it?
Because that's just, not the important bit. The important bit is to try and find out where Kenner is.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I have that works different.
I've just had a message from Paul. He said, I've told you never to mention that again. So he knows that everybody out there is now searching Google for the picture of him. Sorry, Paul.
What's the picture of him in the shop window as well? That we talked about in the show.
I don't even ask about that. I don't know if there is. I'm hoping that one's not out there on social media.
But no, it's, and that's the thing, is that going back to about social media and posting live, what about Snapchat Maps? How old is your son, if you don't mind me asking?
13.
Okay, 13, yeah. So
banned from Snapchat.
Yeah, no, I don't blame him because it was crazy when they announced that Snapchat Maps was out and you flicked. It was quite hard to even get into it at first. You sort of have to, the camera lens is there and you have to flick over it and then the maps comes up. And there was people that Snapchat let you have this feature where you can see where everyone is at any time when you're using that, when you're on Maps. Mm. And I think even when you get out of Maps, you could still be live on there. So then they said, okay, there's a ghost mode. In ghost mode, people won't see where you are. Do you know what it is? They literally, so you've got your Bitmoji, which is like the virtual version of you, with a bald across their face with a Snapchat sign. And I can literally say, there's Jack. He's in Sheerness. I can literally see Jack in Sheerness. Like, but just because it's covered up his Bitmoji face, there's absolutely no security of it.
Oh my God. And that's just, just scary. And you know what, guys? Excuse me. We're not going to go to musical break today. We're going to keep going because we've got so much to cover and I don't want to stop. Because so we're looking, when we're talking about all the bad things about social media, really, and there are a lot of bad things out there. So Molly, do you have a personal social media and your business
page? I do,
media,
yeah.
And do you keep them completely separate?
To some degree, because this is where it gets a little bit awkward, because I become really good friends with some of people that I've met through business. So especially people I see every day, like Dragon people, like Carrie Stay. I talk to Carrie Stay about Tom. I talk to her about my sisters and my nephew. And
poor
so
Carrie.
She becomes a friend. Oh, yeah, she can't, cops an earful, she does. But we become friends. So she'll add me as a friend on Facebook on my personal account. And it's like, when does it become like a friend who sees what, you know, I put on my personal and when it doesn't? But no, I tried to keep the two separate because, you know, like my sister will tag me in a funny video and it's probably like of someone falling downstairs. I wouldn't want business people seeing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do try and keep the two separate because it's purely for the tone of voice and the sort of different things that people post, really.
Yeah. How about you, Richard? Do you have different accounts?
I have different accounts. Largely Twitter is business and me.
Mm.
Not so much me, but more about security and business and stuff. Any of the other accounts that I have are strictly personal. They are, you know, the rule set is that I have to know those people. I would have had to have gone round their house. They have to be family. I have to be connected in some other fashion because I can't speak to them any other way.
Yeah.
And I keep it very sort of,
you know,
like
I was really mad as well how much Facebook has changed our way of life. I was in Bluewater, I think last Christmas. I bumped into a girl and we were good friends in school. And I haven't seen her in 7 or 8 years. And this is the conversation we had. Jodie, hey, how you been? I see that you've been living in Australia. Yeah, I've been living in Australia for the last few years. Been teaching, yep, saw that. I saw that you and Tom had moved in together. Yep, me and Tom. Oh, how long have you been with Tom now? 5 years? 5 years. Wow, God, isn't it a long time? Yeah, well, it was lovely to see you. Bye. I haven't seen her in 8 years and we knew everything about each other and what's been going on.
The only thing missing from that conversation was a like button.
Yeah, exactly. It's scary.
But I like that because it does, you know, I'm in contact on my personal page with people that I went to school with that I probably wouldn't have had contact with otherwise. My best friend lives in Australia and we chat every now and then. We probably, you know, we kept in quite, you know, we've been friends for a very long time. So before the internet, we used to write like letters to each other. But obviously that sort of gets a bit tiresome after a while. So we message each other.
That's so lovely though. I don't know. So personal.
Do you know what a letter is, Molly?
Yeah. Do you know how to, yeah. Handwritten with a pen. Do you know how to use a pen?
A pen? What's a pen? No, it is crazy though, because, you know, it's a really mad thing that happened. So I personally wanted to announce to all my family that I was engaged and say it to their face. Because it's a really exciting time. Mm. And when my sisters have told me they're engaged, I just love the feeling. Yeah. Like, all feeling all warm. Most people, out of all my family and friends that I told, said to me, why didn't you put it online straight away? And I thought, God, and I felt like, what a shame. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not my, that lovely moment we had nothing to do with, you know, likes or anything or people knowing about it. It was just our moment. And I wanted to share that with family. Because obviously it means that, you know, me and Tom being together forever. Like, I'd like to think so. But like, and so that's such a personal, lovely thing.
But that's part of the problem, isn't it? You almost give over yourself. There's this version out there. There's an expectation from people about your life.
Yeah, and that's one of those things about
family, the same. Yeah,
but I think also as you get older, and I had a couple of husbands or partners, you get less romantic, so you don't care quite so much. But I feel like a really bad person now, because when Paul and I got together and we put it on Facebook, I put it on and he put it on, and we were competing to see who had the most
Amanda,
likes.
Amanda, that's really bad. Tom didn't even announce it. Tom didn't even announce
love
it on
you, baby.
His social media at all. Yeah, he's not anti-social media, but he's definitely not into it. He goes onto Facebook through Google. He'll sign in through that because he doesn't have the app, because he doesn't go on it enough. Like, he's such a realist like that, which is really refreshing. But no, it is strange. It is strange how our behaviours, where there's this expectancy to put all of that online. I mean, I've seen women go into labour, or I'll know someone who's gone into labour, and then within an hour of that baby being born, it's on Facebook. Yeah. And I don't know, there's something a bit scary about that. But then there's an expectancy.
Was her hair brushed? As long as the hair was brushed.
Yeah.
Like that, oh, yeah. No, hair. Like mummy, like, yeah. To be fair, mummy wasn't even in the picture. It was just purely baby. Of the baby. But that baby comes into the world and it's straight on social media.
So yeah. We've discussed all the scary stuff and there is so much more. You are listening, in case you're worried, to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show. We are here today on bizradio.co.uk with Molly Wright from Molly Middle Media and Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence. And we are talking about social media, and also, I know we've been going about all the horrors at the moment. We have, you know, a couple of good things.
Yeah.
So, and also, we want to talk about the security aspect of it. Now, we have had some tweets coming in. So, we have had Emily from Pink Spaghetti saying, obviously, about are there more breaches going on? Ben Abbott seems to think there's not necessarily more breaches. It's just that it's been obviously brought to the forefront in the news. Is there more breaches going on? Is it because there's so much more social media going on and more activity that the hackers are, you know, latching onto that? Or is it that it's, since the internet's been around, it's been the same, it's just that it's mentioned more?
I think it's a bit of both. I do think it's a bit of both. Obviously, Facebook, the more recent one and quite the large one around, and that hack was in a professional capacity, although, you know, amid the sort of election fraud and rigging and all of that type of thing. So that's where Facebook started to look different, and then obviously they suffered their own breaches. Thing about social media, any of those platforms, they have an incredible amount of personal data.
Yeah.
Wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing, criminals are targeting that data. So that's the end game. A lot of these, you know, that's their USP. You know, they need to be secure and protected because that encourages more customers to get onto their platforms. But I think where the greater risk is, and you'll see certain things on Twitter, let's use Twitter for example, you'll still see people trying to fish with phishing campaigns. You'll see social engineering where, you know, I get a woman from Russia connect to me and want to send me messages, and then want so they're trying to extract information. So the security risks that are in people's businesses and in people's mailbox exist on social media nonetheless. But the different aspect is that now a lot of signing on, so when you go to pick any sort of retailer, you can create accounts via your social media access.
Yeah.
So you don't have to put emails in anymore. You don't have to create that profile. Just click my Instagram or click my Twitter and it will populate all of the information in there. So again, there's a byproduct of the associated risk with social media because of these large organizations and retailers keep getting hit, and you know, there's loads that are going on. So it's, in my view, it's just raised the sort of the noise around security risk and social media.
And I think it is people's conscious, like they have to make a conscious effort to, can I just say, sorry, it's hashtag wear red day, I'm bang on trend. I just saw that on Twitter. Hello, look at her, she is trendy.
Well, I like to be different. Hashtag purple day.
yeah no, it's not there, Amanda. Anyway,
just for the purposes of the listeners, because this is radio, they're talking about their jumpers.
I am wearing a red jumper.
Thank you for clarifying that, Richard.
And that's the thing, is that actually people really need to make a conscious effort to check out their own security for themselves.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, these platforms, they're learning on the spot. They don't know the full capacity of what hackers can actually do. They have to learn when the bad things happen. They have to learn from that. So realistically, we're not particularly massive. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the social media platforms do the best they can with what they can, with what they've got. But at the end of the day, it's for you to make the effort to go onto those settings and see people.
That's
exactly what they do.
That's the thing at the end of the day, isn't it? These are just platforms. And yes, they can influence people and they can create possibly a culture. But at the end of the day, we're human beings and we have our own brains and we function in our own way. So if you use them with awareness, so yes, you know, if you feel like, oh my God, you know, every time you pick up your phone, you've got to check how many likes you've got, things like that, then maybe you should think about it and go, yeah, you're being a little bit ridiculous here, you know, and just step back a bit. And we say, I think business owners who use social media a lot, probably are worse than everybody else because we're always on social media. We can use the excuse, well, it's business, it's for my business, it's for work. But at the end of the day, you are still on social media doing something.
And the key bit is that, and what's this, my fifth or sixth show since meeting you. The mantra's never changed. It starts with your password.
Yeah.
Now, I would guess, and I would suggest to many people, that they're using the same password for many different social media platforms,
yeah,
which could also be the key to the kingdom to their Office product that they've got, or their Google account, or because we, our behaviour is that, well, I'll do a variation on that, that password, or I'll use that password because it's only social media. And then you've put your phone in there because you want to be able to check if when you lose that email account, you want to be able to check. So you're connecting all of that data all the time. And that's why people try and hack accounts. People try and hack accounts.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to have to go home, aren't I, and change all of my passwords. They're not all the same, by the way.
About one.
Yeah. But also, with people want the things to be easy. So, you know, if you have to have, and people have multiple accounts,
yep,
how do you make life easy by having different passwords for each account that you can remember? Or do you have to do it old school, do it, and then write it on a piece of paper and hide the piece of paper?
There's a bit of that, but you'll lose that piece of paper. You won't be able to find it and someone else will.
Exactly.
The old post-it note on the computer. There are password managers that can be used. A lot of phones now start to take that information and store it somewhere. There are sort of residual risks associated with that, because if you lose your device, then and you haven't got a strong enough password, or you know, someone cuts your thumb off to access the phone or whatever it is, then all of that data is in that phone. And again, a lot of social media, when we're sitting here with three phones, we've been activating, talking, and there's been loads of activity. How safe are our phones? You know, have people secured our own devices?
That's why we love you, Richard, so you can scare the hell out of us and go, oh, God.
I do like my time where I just walk away and go, happy Friday.
Yeah, and thanks.
But it
thanks
really is about securing your device.
Yes.
And take that and put that back into your business, take that at home. Yeah, I remember many, many years ago, I was fortunate enough to spend some time with, you know, a fairly decorated FBI officer at the time. And he was doing a presentation, and he didn't speak much. And the presentation went on for about half an hour, but he didn't speak much. It was long pauses. But one thing he did say in that short amount of time was, we spent a whole lifetime in trying to make sure that children, and this was more around child data and the access to, like what we've just spoken about, Instagram. We spent a whole lifetime checking under the beds for pornographic material, yet we put a computer in their room now.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget sometimes that our phone is a computer.
Mm.
We forget that you sort of, it becomes a bit of a moment where you use those apps and you don't really realise that they're connected to data, and there's a big farm somewhere that's harvesting all of that information to be able to tell you where you are in Kent, Canterbury. And all of that AI that we keep seeing, it's been for years.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what the analytics behind any sort of social media platform is there to do, because they're there to create commercial streams, advertising. It's all there.
Yeah.
And we keep feeding it. So you've got to have good rule sets.
I guess, and one thing to remember is, I was just thinking, for the amount of bad people out there trying to get our information and do bad things, there are equally many good people out there trying to help protect us and
absolutely
stop it and
look
after us.
Can I ask one thing, though, before we head too far away from the spooky? I saw on the spooky and the scary. Mm-hmm. I saw on Facebook that there was this feature where if you put your profile picture in there, then you can turn, what would you look like if you were a man?
Yeah.
And then they hacked all of the information from that. So anyone's information that was involved with stuff like that is the content that got hacked. How does that work? Do you know?
I don't know the technology behind it, but it would be no different. And it's really about trying to keep cyber sort of simplified.
Mm.
It's no different from that phishing email. It's that they're just trying to get you to give up information.
They're just capturing the information for you.
That's
all of those type of things on Facebook. I used to, but since lots of problems, I don't do any of them. How old, what would you look if you was a film star? What's your personality type? All those type of things, because they're just capturing the data and you don't really know.
And you'll invariably find somewhere within that message it says, share it with 10 people.
Yeah.
So you then put it on your page and, and copy and post this, and post that. It's spam, but it's also, helping the phishing.
What's the risk that they can do with that data? So imagine I've seen what I look like with a man, as a man, and I actually look like Gary Vanderchuk. It's really strange, actually. And he must be stunning. So I was just wondering. What do they do with that information? So they've got your information. What can they do with it?
About the picture of you, as a man, or the data that sits behind it?
They have to put that in a modeling agency.
Access to your Facebook account.
Yeah,
that's what you're doing. So whatever information you've got in that Facebook account is compromised.
So, how far can they take it? I mean, because I was on CSR with Bogdan Alex on his show, and a guy messaged in. He said, "Your website's not secure," and I thought, "What is that? What's the worst that could happen if it's not secure?"
From a business point of view, your website is your shop window.
Yeah.
And if someone chucks or creates some sort of bot or tries to attack it in a certain way, you go offline.
Okay.
And there's bad business. More so, and you'll see the little padlock in the top of the browser history when you're going on, let's say, proper websites where you're doing, where you have to put username and credentials in, like banks and all that type of stuff. But it's still important, Ten Intelligence has got it. If you put it in now, it'll be HTTPS.
Mm-hmm.
It's the S bit that you would look to do, because
it's secure.
It's secure. And again, so much stuff could be connected to that website. If you were using Office 365, you could have a gateway to your clients and people coming in. It just, it's almost leaving a window open.
Yeah.
It's not leaving a door open, but it's leaving a window open.
I mean, Paul's just commented, Facebook, when you authorize those apps, they have the right to collect all of your Facebook data, which then they will sell on to advertisers and such.
Yeah,
so
as
soon as you advertise it. I do want to just move on slightly, because we are running completely out of time. We haven't got long at all. And there's something I did want to cover, and Gemma's brought the point up. Gemma Fairclough Haynes, at Gemma Fairhay on the Twitter. Obviously, back to about being careful what you put on social media and what you post and when you post. And we discussed this off air. When you're on holiday, when you're going on holiday, and when you're actually away, so many people are like, "I'm going on holiday. I'm so excited." And when they're on holiday, "I'm on holiday." I mean, what she's put is, I think you have to think about how much you put online. It's great to share holiday pics in real time, but could you be alerting to people to an empty home? And also lots of events, accounts being cloned. And that's one of the fearful things, isn't it? Soon, not too distant future, I'm going on holiday. And I'm dying to tell everybody where I'm going and how much fun I'm going to have. But I'm not going to, because I don't want people to know that I'm away. And when I'm away, I won't. Because I don't want people to know that I'm away. But when I come back, watch out, people. There's going to be pictures all over the place. But that's the thing, isn't it? It goes back to being aware of what you're putting online. Because remember, even if your account is private, people can still access pictures at some point, can't they? People can get
and
hold
it's
of
the words as well, more so. Child's names, birthdays. All of that information, and it's not saying that we're all under attack at any one given time, but that information out there then can be harvested, social engineered. That added to some of the Facebook activity that I've got your mobile phone, I've got your mother's maiden name, because you've just changed your name to your married name. I've got all of that. Now I've got information that allows me to commit ID fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bit, so I know we keep sort of talking about these as dark arts. There's an organised element, and it's criminality that creates this these threats and these risks, which is about stealing data. That data is then used to ID for ID crime and fraud. That's largely where it is. There's no sort of in between. The only in between bit is the protection measures that we can put in place, which are there and very simple to apply.
Okay. It's crazy and it is scary. I guess the main thing, because we've come right to the end of the show now, excuse me, but just be aware. It's about being aware. Check check regularly the security settings on all your social media platforms. Yep. Don't put too much out there. Don't put online what you think you don't want people to see later in the line.
Make sure your passwords are different.
Make sure your passwords are different. And yeah, just think about what you're doing. And also, taking a break from social media, I think, is good. Yep. Taking time out just to relieve that stress of, oh my God, everyone's got to see what I'm doing. And you know, you don't look at things naturally anymore. You look at something, can you go, oh, that could be a good post. I saw some sheep in a field. I took a picture of it. I made it a social media post. That is what we're like these days. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me today. We have literally come to the end of the show, our security special. There won't be a live show next week, but we'll be back the following week. And I have got Gemma Faircuff-Haynes as my co-host and the wonderful Mark Kingston-Jones, who is the owner of Team Building with Byte. It's going to be a fantastic show. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll be back soon.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.